Well, amen. I hope you read all that and saw all that. They're doing a tremendous work. God bless you, Mrs. Alexander, for being here. Take your Bibles tonight, please, and turn to Exodus chapter 17. I'm well aware, Dr. Terry is well aware of the time. Amen. One of the hardest things to do is take the advice you give others. I used to tell the preacher boys, if you're preaching on a schedule and that pastor in front of you takes 30 minutes of your time, you just chop off 30 and you preach 5 minutes. So I'm going to see if I can practice what I preach. Amen. Tonight to do that. Exodus, please, chapter 17. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 13. Before we read, a simple background on where we're at in context here. The children of Israel have come over the Red Sea. We know the miracles. And are on their way to the Promised Land. They'll wander for 40 years through the wilderness and will face many enemies. The first enemy they will encounter is a nomadic tribe called the Amalekites. Amalekites, descendants of Esau. And if you know Galatians, you know that represents the flesh. The flesh versus the spirit. Genesis 36:12 tells about the descendants. They were ambushers. Hold your place, please. Go to Deuteronomy 25. We'll come back to the text, but I want you to see who we're dealing with here. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Beginning in verse 17. Hold your place at Exodus. Deuteronomy 25, verse 17. God speaking, reminding. He says, remember what Amalek, verse 17, did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and a feared not God. This was the enemy they were fighting. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Now to our text, please. Verse 8, then came Amalek. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, when everything's going well, watch out. Here comes Amalek. Here comes the flesh. And fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. This is the first battle face to face Israel has. God's been fighting the others. It's time for them to do it. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Note, he discomfited them. He didn't destroy them completely. By the way, you don't destroy it completely, you're in trouble. Go study Saul. That's what got him into trouble. Go to Numbers 14 when they had no faith in God and they went out to fight Amalek without Jehovah Nissi, a banner over us's love. We'll see that in a moment. And the Lord said, verse 14, unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Just by way of a quick introduction, note in this scripture we have four firsts. First is the first mention of Joshua in verse 9. First time he's mentioned in the Bible. We know he was around. By the way, you want to be a leader? Study Joshua. A good leader has to be a good follower. First mention of Joshua. Second, we have the first prayer of Moses for Israel, found in verses 11 and 12. When Moses is holding his hands up, that's what he's praying for. He's praying for victory, God's help, and God's strength. Thirdly, it shows here the first part in verse 14 of the Bible to be written. Notice what God says to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. We give credit to Moses to be the author of the first five books of the Bible, of course, the Holy Spirit being the leader, amen, being the guide to write that. And then the first reference we have is found in verse 15, one of the great names of Jehovah. You see it there? And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, which simply means God's presence, God's banner over us. We sing that song. I should have had you sing it today. His banner over us is the Lord. And please note, without the banner of God, there is no victory, ladies and gentlemen. We see here three of the greatest leaders in Israel's history mentioned. We see, of course, we've talked about Joshua. We see Moses praying, holding his hands up. We see Aaron, Moses' brother, the high priest. And that's wonderful. Three great men. But I'm going to focus in real quick today on somebody else. And I got to hurry, if you'll pardon the pun. A fella by the name of Hur. We know these other men. We study him, the great lives, but I want to focus in on a man by the name of Hur. Did you notice he was there? He basically steps out of nowhere. This is the first reference. Very few other references in the Bible. Then he disappears. Moses and Joshua are the heroes of the battle. But can I tell you this? They would never have been heroes if Hur had not done his job. I can see after the battle. You just imagine with me a little bit. After the battle's won, picture's given here. I can see him going down and slapping each other on the back, complimenting one another. Boy, that's a great job. Joshua, I saw you stick that guy with a spear. Gets a little gory, doesn't it? Halloween's coming. Moses, boy, you were up there. You were holding up your hands and you were praying for us. Wonderful job, Aaron. You're a great man. And I don't know if they gave silver stars or purple hearts. They were probably passing them out. But wait a minute. Where's Hur? He's not there. What did Hur do? He didn't kill any of the enemies. He didn't lead any troops into battle. He didn't accomplish some brave, heroic feat behind enemy lines. He just stood beside Moses and held his hands up, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing more, nothing less, just held the hands of Moses in the air. It may not seem like an important thing, but listen, if the outcome of a battle depends upon it, then what he did was very important. Hur is the unsung hero. No medals, no purple hearts, no silver stars. Three short points, write them down, we'll go to the house. Number one, people like Hur are absolutely invaluable. Let me say it again. People like Hur are absolutely invaluable. Listen, what he did, very few noticed. But if it's not done, everyone will notice it. In my 9 years as associate pastor here, I have found that to be true. If everything goes well, nobody notices it. I'm not on myself. But boy, if it doesn't go well, it gets noticed. Are you listening to me? We need some hers and we need some hims, if you pardon the pun again. Give me an example, Brother Rigsby. I'm going to take two ladies. I know there's a danger in name dropping, but go ahead. I don't preach here much. You can tell preachers to get somebody else. Mrs. Wehunt, 94 years old. For 30 some years has done the Lord's Supper. And Donna and your mother are helping now. Hey, listen, guys, we don't just have a button that we push and all of a sudden on the Lord's Supper night, it just all comes up and the cups are all filled and the bread's all out there and the linen cloth's there. It doesn't just happen. We've got some hers in this church that just do it and go on. If it's not done, you'll notice it. If it's done, you don't pay any attention to it. Mrs. Stewart, God bless her. She comes on Tuesday when we have the 29ers meeting. She comes in there and she has help. She has some other hers and she's and gets it done. Listen, I know this. Nobody is indispensable, but you can be, folks, invaluable. Listen, a church member who prays, who tithes, who gives to missions, who goes soul winning is invaluable. A church cannot do without them. You know what we need? We need some more hers and we need some more hymns. Number two, quickly, people like her are always involved. People like her are always involved. Listen, compared to Joshua and Moses and Aaron, Hur doesn't belong in this company, but is named here because he got involved. Can I challenge you? I appreciate these two young ladies. I'm bragging. By the way, it's okay for me to brag on you. Just don't start believing it. I appreciate people that join the church and get involved right now. I found this out over the years. If you're involved in a ministry, it's awful hard to stand around and be critical. I've also found this out. If you don't get involved, in 6 months, you're gone. Do I have an amen on that one? Just 1 out of 20? That's not bad. Get involved. All he did, so to speak, was hold up the hands of the preacher. By the way, Dr. Barber will attest tonight. I didn't know he was going to be here, but I got an amen back. Because, listen, he needs his hands. Dr. Weaver needs his hands held up. You need to hold them up. Almost every week I have a pastor failing. That breaks my heart. But you know what, church? Maybe we have a responsibility in there because we don't pray that God would put a hedge around him and protect him. We just need some hers, the unnamed people, the people that just behind the scenes get involved. By the way, you read a little later on, according to Bible scholars, so if they're wrong, blame them, not me. What do you reckon Hur did that day? He didn't go down there and get slapped on the back. Probably went home with the bed. But you know, there might have been a grandkid there watching and knowing what he did. Because if you look, he was the grandfather of Bezalel. Now, I don't know too many kids named Bezalel, but help yourself. But you know who Bezalel was? He was one of the men chosen by Solomon to build the temple. And maybe it was because he saw his grandpa go out and do something nobody knew about too much. Nobody bragged on him. Nobody gave him anything. But he just stayed in his place. Can I just say this to you folks? People are watching you. And you need to set an example like her. Number three, very quickly. Number one, people like her are absolutely valuable. Number two, people like her are always involved. And number three, people like her are often invisible. They're usually behind the scenes without recognition or appreciation. Listen, I know God puts great men in position to do a job, but I know all great men will attest to this truth that it wasn't for the ground crew. Nothing would happen. If anything I've learned in my position as associate pastor, I can't do anything by myself here. I have to count on good hers and good hims to get the job done in God's vineyard. Last week, the kitchen need clean. You don't want a man, too many men clean in the kitchen. Peggy kicks me out. All I am allowed to go in there and do is get something to eat. Right, sis? You know that. But Robert and his wife and your brother-in-law came over there for 3 hours and got in there and cleaned that thing. Nobody knew they did it. They didn't do it for slap on the back. They were just good hers. Let's be some hers tonight. Somebody's well said, we'd be surprised what would get done if we didn't want to stand around and get the credit for it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed.